With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Obviously, I want to start with the ongoing and highly unusual James Wiseman situation at the University of Memphis. As you surely know by now, the NCAA announced on Friday that James Wiseman is, quote, likely ineligible because of an alleged violation that involved his mother and Penny Hardaway back in 2017. The specific violation being that Penny Hardaway provided James Wiseman's mother with approximately $11,500 in what the school called, quote, moving expenses, this happening back in 2017. According to the NCAA, Penny Hardaway was a booster at that time, so this is an obvious problem relative to current NCAA rules. And this is precisely why, despite what some tried to insist in the month of October, it was always reasonable to be skeptical of the idea that James Wiseman was in the clear as it pertained to freshman eligibility. I talked about it a lot 2 weeks ago. I was criticized for talking about it a lot 2 weeks ago. But when James Wiseman wasn't playing in the exhibitions, even though he appeared healthy enough to play, what I told you at the time is that his absence was one reason, but only one reason to wonder if something was up. I also said there were other reasons, and I specifically named two. One of them was I said it was reasonable to wonder if something was up simply because James Wiseman was a five-star prospect in the class of 2019 who left a private school and his home in Nashville to attend a public school in Memphis, and that the NCAA would almost certainly want to know why that happened and how it happened, and if anybody who should not have been involved in that move and other things were involved in that move and other things. Rumors about how that move happened have circulated in basketball circles since the move happened. I actually talked about them way back when the move happened. And the other reason I said it was reasonable to wonder if something was up, when I was saying this a few weeks ago, is because when I asked two university employees who were in a position to answer a very simple question, whether James Wiseman had eligibility concerns, I got a I don't know from one of them and a strange response from the other. And like I told you then, if there were no eligibility concerns, you'd probably just say there are no eligibility concerns. But nobody would say that for a full 22 hours. And then on the night of October 29th, I was informed by a university spokesperson that James Wiseman had been cleared by the NCAA. You probably remember the tweet. Now, technically speaking, that was an accurate statement, so I'm not mad at anybody. But it was also a misleading statement, because the University of Memphis, by its own admission last Friday night, knew at that time that a, quote, deeper investigation had been launched into Wiseman's eligibility status after he was initially cleared in May. That's undeniable based on the statement released last Friday. So don't ever forget those people who were screaming that there was no reason for Gary Parish to be speculating about the eligibility of James Wiseman in late October, because it's now crystal clear those people did not know what they were talking about. There was always a reason to wonder if Wiseman had eligibility issues. That's why I asked the questions I asked. It's why I talked about it the way I talked about it. Either way, back to the statement Memphis released Friday night, because it's amazing to me how a significant portion of the fan base is just ignoring what it said, just completely ignoring it. Now James Wiseman's attorneys have publicly said that, you know, this is their version, Wiseman was cleared by the NCAA, but then the NCAA said it shouldn't have cleared him, but then the NCAA said it was their error to clear him in the first place, and that they'll just eat the error and that he's good to go. End of story, right? That's the story coming from the attorneys. And some fans have latched on to that completely. So the narrative among some is that the NCAA cleared James Wiseman, but then declared him ineligible for no reason. And let me be clear, that might be true. At least I cannot tell you that it's definitely not true. But what I can tell you is that it's definitely not what Memphis said on Friday night in that statement. It's all in the statement. All you have to do is read it. Here's what it said. Quote, after a joint standard eligibility review by the university and the NCAA, As is common for all high-profile incoming student-athletes, James Wiseman was declared eligible by the NCAA in May 2019. However, based on information that necessitated a deeper investigation, the university began to work alongside the NCAA in investigating the matter. After several months of interviews and after a review of documentation, it was determined that in the summer of 2017, while Wiseman was in high school and a prospective student athlete, Penny Hardaway provided $11,500 in moving expenses to assist the Wiseman family in their relocation to Memphis, unbeknownst to Wiseman. End statement. If you have reading comprehension skills, that is clear as day. What Memphis said on Friday night is that James Wiseman was initially cleared in May, but then there was information that necessitated a deeper investigation. And after several months of interviews and a review of documentation, it was determined that Penny Hardaway provided approximately $11,500 to James Wiseman's mother for moving expenses. So perhaps Wiseman's lawyer's version of events is accurate, but it does not line up at all with what Memphis released last Friday night. The official statement from Memphis says they were initially cool in May, but then a deeper investigation was launched. And now here we are. As for the details of the NCAA case, I'm not going to spend much time arguing about whether Penny Hardaway was a Memphis booster at the time or whether this was actually a violation, because he clearly was and it clearly is. As the university acknowledges itself, Penny Hardaway made a $1 million donation to Memphis, the athletic department, in 2008. That makes him a booster. And according to the NCAA, once you become a booster, you are a booster forever. Go to the official NCAA website when you get a chance. It's there. It's all there. Read about boosters. It literally uses the word forever right there on the website. And when a booster provides approximately $11,500 to the mother of a recruitable student athlete, and then that recruitable student athlete enrolls at the school for which the person providing the money is a booster, that's a rules violation. There's really no getting around it. And what's hilarious about this, about some fans trying to argue Penny was not a booster and this was not a violation, is that the University of Memphis itself isn't even trying to argue Penny wasn't a booster or that this was not a violation. In fact, the university announced on Friday that based on the NCAA's interpretation, it was prepared to withhold James Wiseman from competition. That was the plan Friday afternoon. But then Wiseman went to court, got a temporary restraining order, and then Memphis decided to use him in Friday's blowout of Illinois-Chicago. And now we have a fascinating stare down with the NCAA that could get super messy. Because this is not the way other schools handle these situations. When this kind of thing happens at other schools, and yes, it does regularly happen at other schools. In fact, let me stop right here for a second, because there's a perception among some that this is just the NCAA picking on little old Memphis. But that doesn't fit with the facts. It doesn't jibe with reality. It's only something uninformed people say. Do you realize Kansas, a blue blood program, if they ever were one, had to withhold two players all of last season for impermissible benefits, including five-star freshman Billy Preston. In addition to him, Silvio De Sousa. And several years back, guess who else they had to withhold from competition because of impermissible benefits? Josh Selby. But I know what you're thinking. Yeah, well, that's Kansas. They'd never do it to Kentucky, except they did. Enes Kanter, enrolled at Kentucky, was never allowed to play. Yeah, but they'd never do it to North Carolina, except they did. P.J. Hairston, impermissible benefits, ruled ineligible. Well, any other Hall of Fame coaches? Yes. Glad you asked. Jim Boeheim, Syracuse. Fab Mello, ruled ineligible. Louisville, Brian Bowen, never allowed to play. I just named you five of the 15 most prominent basketball programs in this country. They have all, Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas, Louisville, and Syracuse, dealt with players with eligibility concerns, just like Memphis is dealing with a player with an eligibility concern right now. So yes, this does happen to other schools, quite often actually. And when it happens to other schools, they almost always immediately remove the player from competition, rule the student-athlete ineligible, and if possible, then apply for reinstatement. And then they are punished in whatever form. But Memphis is, as you know, not taking that path, at least not right now. Instead, Memphis is defiantly using a player the NCAA has told Memphis is likely ineligible. And unless this thing gets resolved, it appears Memphis is prepared to just play James Wiseman all season. It's way unusual, perhaps unprecedented, bold, and yes, super risky. Because unless Memphis reaches some resolution with the NCAA, or unless Wiseman actually beats the NCAA in court, what will likely happen after Wiseman presumably plays all season and then goes to the NBA is the University of Memphis will eventually get a notice of allegations from the NCAA for playing what it deemed to be an ineligible player. If Memphis can't win that case, then this basketball season would likely be vacated, no matter where it ends up. And then the program could be more severely punished into the future. Postseason bans, scholarship reductions, fines, probation, recruiting limitations, a suspension for the head coach, basically everything would theoretically be on the table, which is why I haven't spoken with a single college administrator, compliance person, or college coach who thinks it's smart for Memphis to handle this way. In fact, I asked a current athletic director at a Division I university yesterday if he believed any other school would handle this way. And he said, and I quote, "I don't think any other school would do what Memphis is doing. It's crazy." Now, perhaps you disagree, but trust me, the consensus among college administrators is that this approach is bold and probably bonkers. Either way, you move on to the biggest question, which is this. Can James Wiseman win the case? Can he beat the NCAA? And the simple answer, and I want to be very clear about this, is who knows? Who knows? Maybe. History says it's a long shot because the NCAA is a voluntary organization. Nobody makes you be a member. But when you agree to be a member, you are by extension agreeing to follow its rules. And when you get caught in violation of the rules, this is the result. Historically, the courts have ruled that the NCAA is allowed to enforce its own rules as it sees fit. So that's among the reasons the odds seem stacked against James Wiseman actually winning. But again, he's hired an incredible team of lawyers led by Leslie Ballin, who once helped a woman beat a murder charge after she shot her sleeping preacher husband in the back. Lady did 67 days, that's it, 67 days after killing a preacher by shooting him in the back while he was sleeping. So if you can basically win that case, I ain't ruling nothing out with Leslie Ballin involved. He's the GOAT. So I will not speak in absolutes about how a judge might rule on this case. I couldn't possibly know for sure. I just know, again, history is not on the side of James Wiseman, which is why resolving this with the NCAA in some form is probably still the best path to a sensible and safe conclusion. But I'm not even sure if that's possible anymore. I suppose we'll see. But no matter what happens, it's going to be fascinating to watch this unfold, perhaps the biggest story in college sports for a while now. And I guess I'd close with this. I agree with you. This stinks. It sucks. I hate it. There's nothing fun about James Wiseman having to fight for his eligibility. There's nothing fun about Memphis being in an NCAA scandal that creates a cloud that'll hang above this season. You know, there's a sentiment among a segment of the fan base that seems convinced that I'm somehow enjoying this or want this, which is just asinine and frankly insulting. You know, I was born here. I've lived here basically my entire life. I've had lots of opportunities to leave, to do radio in bigger markets for more money, and I've stayed here every time because I love it here. Because I care about the city, because I care about that university. I grew up a Memphis basketball fan. I used my own money when I was a teenager to buy tickets to go see Penny Hardaway play at the Pyramid. A degree from that school hangs on my wall in my office. And you can reasonably argue, no media member reps Memphis harder on a national level than me. So in what world does it make sense that I'd want bad things for Memphis? Do you realize how stupid it is to think that? And beyond that, do you remember who was the biggest and loudest and earliest person yelling that Memphis should fire Tubby Smith and hire Penny Hardaway? It was me. So even if you think I only care about me, do you think it reflects well on me when I scream to hire the guy who now has the Memphis program in an NCAA scandal before his second season even started? You know, the people who were against firing Tubby and hiring Penny were partly against it because they wondered if it would go off the rails for exactly reasons like this. And yet I insisted it had to happen. And it happened. And it was going spectacularly. And we were all enjoying it. But now, here we are. And if you think that's a good thing for me or something I enjoy, I just don't know how anybody could reasonably reach that conclusion. It's so stupid and exhausting. I should probably just ignore it. I know. But I have my weaknesses just like anybody else. And like I wrote late on Friday night, after I got out of studio CBS Sports Network, I hate that James Wiseman's mother isn't allowed to accept money from whomever she wants for whatever reason. I hate the NCAA rules. I've written about them and talked about them for years and years and years. My primary employer, CBS Sports, has a billion-dollar contract with the NCAA, but I've never held back. I'm against amateurism. I'm against limitations on student-athletes and their families. I'm against transfer restrictions. Google Gary Parrish and NCAA and amateurism when you get a minute and see what pops up. There is nothing pro-NCAA in my background. I am one of the loudest anti-NCAA voices in my profession. But all that said, I've also been totally consistent on situations like this. I do not like the NCAA's rules, but as long as they're in place, I've long said and written, you have to follow them. Or at least, you have to not get caught violating them. To argue otherwise is just weird. And long as we're being honest, I don't remember many Memphis fans saying Bruce Pearl shouldn't have to follow the rules. Or Will Wade or Shawn Miller or Ole Miss boosters. So the fans who are saying free Wiseman are being wildly inconsistent. But I'm not. My stance has been the same for years. And my stance is this. I disagree with the rules. But as long as they're the rules, you need to follow them or at least not get caught violating them. It's why I never said free Enes Kanter. You want to know why? Because I didn't think Kentucky should be able to use a professional basketball player when other schools can't. It's why I don't think Silvio DeSosa should be playing for Kansas right now. Because KU is currently benefiting from a player who was bought for them. And that seems wrong. And it's why I don't think James Wiseman should escape punishment completely. I would hope it would be a reasonable punishment, not something that squashes his career. Because by all accounts, he's a great young man who didn't know this violation happened. But it was a violation. And a price in some form should be paid. Otherwise, there's no reason for anybody to ever follow the rules. And I know that's not the most popular opinion in this city. And I know my Twitter mentions would be more fun if I just yelled, the NCAA is out to get Memphis. Shame on them. But here's the truth. I decided a long time ago that I won't be intentionally dumb just to stay on the right side of 250 people on a message board. If you want media members in this market who will just cheerlead nonstop, be dumb, they're around. They're not hard to find. If that's what you like, that's cool with me. On some level, I understand it. But that ain't me. That's not who I am. I'm more interested in just trying to write and speak truthfully all the time. When things are great, like Memphis football and college game day and Memphis basketball recruiting, I say they're great and I celebrate them. When things aren't, like the Tubby Smith era, I say they're not. And I call for them to be changed. Similarly, when the NCAA is wrong, I say the NCAA is wrong. But when the NCAA isn't wrong, I'm not going to scream that the NCAA is wrong. And in this case, based on current rules that are in place, I don't know how anybody could reasonably argue the NCAA is just out to get Memphis and James Wiseman. In reality, here's what happened. Memphis enrolled a high-profile prospect who changed cities and high schools under unusual circumstances. Just like I told you a while ago, the NCAA was always going to look into that. And when the NCAA looked into it, they didn't plant evidence. They found what they found. And now here we are. It really is that simple. And now the hope is that it all gets resolved somehow in a positive way for James Wiseman and the University of Memphis. That's all you can hope for now. That would be an ideal conclusion to this situation. And I promise you, hand to heart, that's what I'll be rooting for. A reasonable and fair resolution that everybody can live with.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.